We are in a very long series. I know it seems like a long time, but I just got the word towards the beginning of the year, like, Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to go into? And he said, mobilize to mission. And I said, okay, what does that look like? You know, I've been in ROTC and various other things like that that has a military structure to it. And he says, well, to be mobilized to mission, you have to be equipped. You know, typically you can kind of see the movies where they go in, they grab the swords, they grab the guns, and they're getting ready to be stationed up and set up in their ranks and files and formations and ready to do battle, ready to receive instruction. And that's what I feel that the Lord has been doing through this series of, let me show you the blueprints of how this battle is supposed to be waged. Let me show you the blueprints of how my people and my kingdom is supposed to look and function. So that's where we've been, and we've been in the process, if you want to go back and check anything out, we've been in the process of studying specifically the gifts of the Holy Spirit found in 1 Corinthians 12. Today we're going to shift into what we called up in the class the gifts of God the Father found in Romans 12. So if you have your Bibles today, if you would turn to Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, starting in verse 1. And I'm going to turn there with you today. I'm reading out of the NIV, but I have a few other versions here. I think I've got NIV on the screen. Yep. All right. So Romans 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Amen. Verse 2, but do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm so thankful for that. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Real quick on this, I studied this in the Passion and other translations as well. Listen to what it says in verse 2 in the Passion. He says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. You want to know what popped up in my mind? This is one of those little games that they say online where say a phrase or name a store so we can date you without telling us your age. The one that popped in my mind was, are you trying to keep up with the Joneses? Remember those commercials? Are you trying to keep up with the Joneses? Are you trying to fit in to the culture and the ideals and opinions around you? Doesn't that kind of make it land home a little bit more? Hope it does. All right, let's continue verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each one of you. You've each received a measure of faith. Verse 4, for just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though we're many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. I need you to pause there and look at that verse real closely. Each member, each one of us, belongs to the others. You're not for yourself. Your work, your mission on the earth that Christ has given you is not just for you. That's hard to hear. It's okay. You don't have to shout me down, but you're not just for yourself today. Okay? Verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Something I'm going to call out here in a second, I'll tell you in just a minute on this verse 6 part. Let's continue. Verse 7, if it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, I was telling Alan this morning as we were talking about it, if I go stand in my garage, does that or does that not make me a car? It does not make me a car. If I go stand out on my front lawn, that does not make me grass. All right? So just because you may give a word of prophecy does not mean you're a prophet. So don't get scared or weirded out by any of it. Offices versus function. We're talking about function today. And everyone in here can give a prophetic word. What does a prophetic word do? It builds up the church. It builds up the body. Do you think you can build someone up today? All right, then that means you can prophesy. Does not necessarily mean you are or are not a prophet, okay? Are you with me? Okay, so some people say, we've heard this all our lives in church, y'all can look at me funny, I just don't know that I'm called to be a teacher. Can you teach something? The answer is most likely yes. So if you're skilled in the art of explaining things and teaching something, doesn't necessarily mean you have to be a teacher, but it means you can convey that knowledge that the Lord's given you to be able to explain to others. All right? Simplifies it a little bit. So one of the things in here it says, is it to serve? Well, I think we're all called to serve. That doesn't necessarily mean the Lord is saying, go to the mission field. Because your mission field is here. Your mission field is around you. So you don't always have to go abroad to serve someone. Are you with me? Now, if the Lord has told you specifically, go do it. But you can serve right here. Amen? All right. I encourage you, I typically don't do this, and I'm not going to read it today, but it is really, really, really good. Check out Romans 12 in the Message translation, specifically those parts. It is so good. I like the way that Eugene Peterson just kind of arranged the words there. And just a quick note, it's a thought-for-thought translation, so it's meant to convey a thought, not meant to convey what the word specifically says in the Greek or the Hebrew or anything else like that. So take it for that. But read it in that translation to see what thought the Lord is trying to convey. But it's so powerful because often one of the things that I took from it is we serve somebody but we're naggy why we're doing it. Or we're complaining why we're doing it. That's not real service. I don't know if you know that or not. That's not real service. It's not doing it with your whole heart. So I encourage you to check it out. It's Romans 12 in the Message. You can check it out on the Bible app or online, bible.com. All right, so one of the things that stuck out to me, it's going to be our first point today in Romans chapter 12, 1, is it's our reasonable response. That word stuck out, our reasonable response. And the reason why this stuck out to me specifically, because I am very kind of just out in the clouds most of the time with my thoughts, and there's not a lot of places in the Bible or in just general biblical principles where the word tells us to use reason. In fact, it usually tells us the opposite, that you know sometimes this stuff isn't going to make sense to the logical mind. You have to follow the Lord even when you don't understand something. Are you with me? From that perspective. So here, it's our reasonable response. Many translations say it's therefore we do this. So this is where Paul lays out in chapters 1 through 11 of Romans. He lays out who we were, he lays out what we did, and the separation that we had from the Father of all the universe. He then showed us that Jesus died on the cross and made all of that like He took our place and made all of that where we could be in right standing with God. And then Paul says, so therefore, I urge you to give back. And the best part about it that I liked that is just so powerful is he said, because of all this, you don't have to die. You instead get to be a living sacrifice. You're alive, dying daily, giving over yourself daily, giving your resources daily, okay? Some of us don't like to hear that. Resources. Oh, what do you mean about that, Chris? Yeah, sometimes you're giving money daily. Because it says, hey, that person's in need. They need it more than you do. It's not always a popular word to hear. Lord, was that you? How can I be sure? Let me make sure, you know? Like, no, that was God. So sometimes it happens daily. Here's a thought that I really liked and I had to add it in here. It might just be one of those things that as the pastor, they're like, you know, oh gosh, he's going to use my story again. So Eli came into our room at bedtime again this last week. And any of you that know me, I've talked about this. Those online are probably laughing right now as I'm saying it. But I was almost out. Like, it would have been done. No one would have woke me up. You guys know how that is. So the sleep is blessed when it hits. And Eli walked in and he says, hey. So I was talking to Jesus and I kind of perked up, you know, I was on my pillow. I'm just like, yes. And he said, I had this thought. And he said, I just want to make sure that I'm hearing from the Lord. And I said, yeah, you know, what is it? Christy's talking to him. She's like, I think your daddy's asleep. And I'm just kind of being sly enough where I'm like, I just want to perk up and hear what he would say if he thinks that I'm asleep, right? And he says, we should love Jesus and others even when we can't see the blessings. We should love Jesus and others even when we can't see the blessings. Like, man, that's good. Like, real good. I'm going to use that. You know? And Christy's like, oh, yeah, he's asleep over there. And she asked the next day. She's like, hey, so Eli walked in the room and you know, shared a word from the Lord. I was like, oh, yeah. You know, and I told her what it was. She's like, you were awake. And I'm like, just a little bit. I went out immediately after I wrote it down, you know, because God is good like that. And he makes sure I have enough, you know, awareness to capture it. But I was like, man, that's so good. Because often Christians will say, well, do that and you'll get a blessing. Or do this, and if you do it just right, God will bless you. Are we doing it for the blessing? Or are we doing it because we love Jesus? Right? So I appreciated that word because it kind of struck me. I'm like, oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for any area where I was doing it because I knew that there was a blessing, not just because I love you. And we sometimes get that twisted a little bit. We know there will be a blessing, so we're like, yeah, the blessing is coming. But we should do it even when the blessing doesn't, or if it doesn't come the way we want it, or it doesn't look the way we want it, right? Here's another one that stuck out to me this week as I was studying. So call this a subpoint of reasonable response. It's minister to the Lord. I don't remember who I was talking to. It might have been Pastor Glenn or Alan. But I was just going through and I was like, I've read it a million times in all the Psalms and various verses, and I only have two here to reference for you today just to keep it kind of timely. But I just kept seeing minister to the Lord, and I've been reading in various translations, so some of them say serve the Lord, that's fine. But I just had this thought that all of our serving is completely and totally meaningless unless it's to Jesus first. Like, I could serve you all the live long day, but if I don't wake up every morning and say, Jesus, how can I serve you? What do you want to do today? How do you want to use my time? Will you fill up my schedule? Like, everything else is going to happen. Any of you that have multiple jobs or multiple things that you're focusing on, you will know that your schedule will get filled, whether you fill it or someone else does. So there is no doubt that schedule is going to be taken care of. But if I start early, and this is not a popular thing for most people today, if you wake up early and ask the Lord how he wants to use your day, there's a great chance that it won't get away from you and someone else fills it for you. All right? It's a lot easier to say no. I've already got an appointment. I don't owe it to you to tell you what that appointment is. All I got to tell you is that I've got an appointment, right? My appointment's with Jesus at this time, every day, and he's more important than you. So, you know, I'm going to spend it with him, all right? And that's okay, all right? So in Isaiah 56, 6 through 7, it says, also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him, and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. So this scripture, if you look at many of the Bibles, the little title at the top, this is to the Gentiles, not to the promised people. So he's talking specifically to you and I, to the Gentiles. If you do this, like, your sacrifices, your voice will be heard. I love that. I'm ministering to the Lord. Acts 13:2, I love this because I've been reading in Acts, obviously, this time frame and all that. But the first part of Acts 13:2 says, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Best part comes up next. The Holy Spirit said, because they were focused on him, they were able to hear the voice of the Lord, and he gave them instruction for that next season they were about to dive into. Can you imagine, and this is not in my notes, but can you imagine that your leader is gone? And he was the one setting the schedule, telling you what to do, what's happening next, and how the world could cause them to fret. What will you do now? You don't have him. And I imagine every one of them, including us, if we were in their shoes, would have preferred Jesus to be right there telling them what to do, when to do it, how to do it. And what they hadn't seen yet is that he was. But that didn't sink in yet. They don't have that understanding because they're not getting to see the story the way we see it. So it hadn't sunk in yet. And on that day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit dropped on them and they were filled with the power that Jesus had, and Jesus was making intercession for them in heaven, I think things started to click. Isn't that cool? So here's the point on that, and I like this. If you want to be led by his voice, minister to him. If you want to hear the voice of God and you're not too sure what it sounds like or what it looks like, minister to him. And I guarantee you will find out. Second point. He wants everything. Now, I had a hard time with this one, so I'm going to share a little bit of my thoughts on this. So when I was first a Christian and I was processing this, and I'm trying to grab anybody then in the room that may be feeling this and letting you know that it's okay and it will pass too. But many of us in our ignorance, I'm sure, have questioned God. What, you want everything? Like, that's not fair. That seems greedy, right? Everything? And my prayer is, God, forgive me for having that thought, right? But I think God is okay with our questioning. I think he would rather us question our faith and go to him for the answers than try to go to anybody else to try to answer that question for us. What does this mean? What does that sound like? And I'm not saying counsel isn't good, but sometimes we focus on people rather than taking it back to the one who actually can answer it and should answer it. We try to get their perspective. I would rather go to him first. What do you have to say about this? You know all the answers anyway. As we talked about this morning, you knew what was in my heart. You knew that I was questioning it, so I'm not going to hide it. God, that seems a little bit weird. That seems like you're greedy. Tell me more about this. And here's some of the thoughts that he shared with me, and I just want to share with you. He has the right to be jealous, to want all of our attention. And here's the kicker. This is what he said. He said, "I gave you my best. Why can't you be troubled to do the same?" Come on. And then, just to drive the point home, he said, "Look up sacrifice." Now, y'all, in everything I looked up sacrifice in, there's nothing that sugarcoats it and says, "Oh, it's fine, it'll be fine, it's not that bad." No, in almost everything I looked up as it pertains to sacrifice, it hurts. It's going to cost you something, usually more than you're willing to pay. But Jesus' flair was, it's all worth it in the end. Who are you sacrificing to? What are you sacrificing for? Listen to this story, one of my favorites, hands down. Luke 21, 1 through 4. I've been in Luke a lot lately. I don't know what's up with Luke in my heart and my mind, but I've been reading a ton of Luke, and God's connecting all the dots. We were having this discussion one evening at small group, and he dropped like three Luke's sermons or scriptures in my mind. I'm just like, okay, all right, they're all there, boom, 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 boom. And I didn't have that knowledge before. So God will speak, just ask him. But Luke 21, 1 through 4. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. Then he also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Verse 3, "Truly I tell you," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others, because all these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on. It was without regard for her own needs, because she knew the promise of the Lord, that he would take care of her. And just as the Lord," so the story she would have been told at this time, "just as the Lord provided the manna each and every day while they were sojourners in the wilderness, he would provide for her each and every day." Now, some of you might be saying, "But Chris, money is needed in this day and time." Yeah, and who owns all of that? My Father. And he knows what I need. And he'll take care of it when I need it. And I believe in that. And when the enemy tries to come in and get me to not believe that by making a bill just pop up out of nowhere, or not stretch the paycheck as far as it went last time for whatever reason. Those are just distractions. God always has, and he always will provide, so my faith is not going to be shaken by these trivial things. Amen? Can you believe that? Can you stand alongside me? I mean, if no one else will believe with you, I will believe with you because I've seen it. God will take care of it. And I've stopped trying to put my hand on it. Because what I've done in my youth, and you might say, Chris, you're not that old. I've had many years of experience that many of you don't know. Come talk to me sometime. I'll talk to you about it. But I tried to toil and do it my way. And I'm telling you, the moment I said okay to his way, it became a lot easier. And I'm going to share about it in a second, and I might be jumping ahead on my notes, but I would rather have someone that has gone through hunger, like myself, not being able to feed myself and instead taking care of my kids because they're what mattered to me. And I was okay with starving for however many days it was or weeks that it was because they were taken care of. I would rather have someone who understands that pray for me. Because if you've been through that and you believe that God can take care of it because you saw that he did, I want your faith praying for me to build my faith so I can believe it too. Someone that just tells you that it's going to happen, it's going to work out, but has no depth and reality of, well, I've experienced it and it sucked and it wasn't fun. Like, where was God? I've been there. He was there the entire time. You want to know the problem? I didn't see it. You've been here the entire time. God, forgive me. I see it now. I understand it now. And I know that it's real. I know that it hurts. And I'm harping on this one, but I need you to hear me. I've been there, and our Savior has been there. And he wants you freed from that too. Okay? You might not amen that, but he's going to do it anyway. Here's another little tidbit. You want someone to perform work on your house or your yard or your car and not put all of their attention and skill into it? Sounds pretty crazy, right? We've probably ran into a few of those a time or two, if we're being honest. They even have a special name for that kind of work. We're not going to share that in church. But we've all experienced that kind of work. This lady gave everything she had, all in, no matter what. I want my work, my life, my commitment to Jesus to be all in. Not holding anything back, not reserving anything for later. Strength, new, every morning. We're going to get there too. It's in Lamentations. But a thought that I had on this one was not only the name, that was pretty good. I was like, oh, that's good. He said, Chris, if it doesn't pass your standards, why do y'all think it'll pass mine? I'm like, ouch, that hurt. All right, Lord, show me a better way. Here's the better way. Living sacrifices, a daily offering. Daily? What? Check this out. It's in Philippians 2, 12 through 13. I got a neat little Greek thing that my friend taught me, Pastor Keith, those of you that know him, very early on, many years ago. But in verse 12, it says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. So he was on Zoom calls too. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Chris, that's a lot of words. What does that mean? Well, the one I wanted to focus on was continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In the Greek, I think I have it. The next slide. Yeah. He said that word there that Paul is using means you were saved. You are saved, and you're being saved. Past, present, and future. God's not done. You're a work in progress. So you're not going to look the same way today that you did yesterday, as well as today and tomorrow. You're being translated, moved into that future glory. And when he comes back for us and splits the sky and calls us home, you're gonna look an awful lot different than you do today. All right? Can we say thank you, Jesus, that you're still working on me? Okay? So I'm going to continue to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. God, it all comes from you. It's all for you. So I want to be, the fear and trembling that he's talking about here is, I want to present a holy and a living sacrifice to you. It's all yours. And I respect that when you set something up as holy, it's meant to be used for your purposes, not mine anymore. That's what he's talking about. Are you with me there? Use it how you want to. I don't get to tell you how to use it anymore. Lamentations 3:22 says, I said this a minute ago, through the Lord's mercies, just like we're talking about in Romans, he told us what those mercies were, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They never end. They never fail. They are new every morning. So I'm going to praise you. Great is your faithfulness. Amen? Can you give him some thanks? Great is your faithfulness. Yes. Thank you, Lord. One other small note, and then I've got my last point here. I remember early Sunday morning cartoon shows. This is another one of those things that'll date you without saying your age. That we should always be vigilant. And I was thinking about it. I actually found it. It was cool. It was kind of a weird guy had taken an old camera and taken a picture or taken a video of his TV as they were watching it. So it was super cheesy, but it got the point across because I was like, am I tracking with what happened? But you know the one where Bugs Bunny's out in the forest and he stumbles upon this pot, this cooking pot, and it's steaming, man. It's going. He's like, oh, hey, hot tub. All right. And he gets in. He's like, you know, dipping his little toe and he's like, ooh, ooh. And he gets in, like, and then he rests his bottom, and he's like, oh, okay. And he kind of just eases in. He's just sitting there kind of relaxing. And then this little guy, this little hunter comes up, and he's just chopping the carrots off, and he grabs one of the carrots, and he's chewing on it. He doesn't know that he's dinner. Okay? So we need to remain vigilant so we don't pull a Bugs Bunny and realize that that hot tub that you're in, that situation that may feel good, the enemy's about to have you for breakfast, and you don't even know it. All right? Now, I'm not saying we should be scared of the enemy. We should be aware of the enemy. What's he doing? What little half-truths is he trying to tell us to make us think, oh, that sounds pretty good. That must be the Lord, right? And you don't put any question to it. You don't take it back to Scripture. You don't take it back to the promises the Lord has already spoken to you, and you find yourself in a little hot bowl of porridge and like, oh no, right? So don't be Bugs Bunny in the hot tub. What did you hear at church today? So my last point is we all have a role. Matthew 9:37-38. We've been talking about 9:38 for a while now, but in the New Living Translation, 37 says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. What did Jesus notice here? And if you look at the first half, I think I gave you 37b, not the first half of it. But he said he saw that they were scattered and confused, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And I'm going to give them just a pause so y'all can get ready. But I've got a little video for you that I think just nails this on the head of why we sheep need a shepherd. Can we play that? No sound. Oh, wait, it gets better. There's a slow-mo of it. Look at that. Can you see that we need a shepherd? I think I did that two or three times last week. Like, yay, go-dunk, you know. We need Jesus. And oftentimes, what I've been through or what you've been through will help someone else miss the crevice. Hey, I literally just got pulled out three times. go the other way, you know? Like, you know, we need that. So here's what I wanted to call this point, really. Not just we all have a role, but I liked this. The Lord said, gifts with purpose, parts with perspective. Because you know what's going on, you know how to better fall in your role and what's not your role. Because often we try to fill roles that we're not equipped for, and we get tired, and we get confused. And Jesus looks at us and is like, huh, they kind of look like they're sheep without a shepherd. We need some help, y'all, okay? So here's something that I just had to share, and we've been in the study of the Holy Spirit, but guys, there's no doubt in my mind, no doubt, that Jesus, empowered with the Holy Spirit, had access to every single spiritual gift. Do y'all agree? Jesus had access to all the gifts? Yes? Okay. I also believe that Jesus was the blueprint. He was showing us the standard operating procedure of the kingdom. Any of you that are working, y'all got your little SOPs of how y'all do business. Jesus was showing us that. He said, this is how it's done. Watch me and do likewise. He even said, as we said earlier, that we would do greater things because he's going to the Father and he's going to send us the Holy Spirit. So here's a few thoughts on this verse. The gifts are plenty and powerful according to their purpose. But there are currently only a willing few saying yes. I don't think he meant for this dynamite guy that you saw at a tender revival to have every gift under the sun. I think it was probably because he was the only one that said, yes, I'll do it. And too often that's true. Too often you see these people and we start to lift up the person rather than Jesus because the focus is on a single person rather than the body. And Jesus intended for each part of the body to have a focus and a purpose and a ministry and for them to lock together. Are you with me? All right. So as I said earlier, the best givers, those with the gift of giving, are those that understand lack and how God freed them from it. The best worshipers know who and what they worship. Right? What did he say to the woman at the well? The best proclaimers, I'm sure you've seen, I've got a good video if you haven't, but the best proclaimers, I'm thinking front door salesmen, believe that they literally have the best thing around and they make you believe it too. I think we need a few of those lessons. He's convinced, and so am I. Encouragers that have walked through needing to be encouraged. Healed people that have been healed of something and then now can share that. I had a privilege of meeting Bill Wilson from Metro Ministries out in New York City. He came to my church that I was on staff at in Tennessee. And he just, man, awesome testimony. Go watch his video. Go check out the website. Just awesome ministry. But one of the things that he said that stuck with me and I thought was fitting for this is that he said, to the whole world, you may be one person. But to that one person, you might just be the whole world. You don't know the impact of that one. You don't know the impact of your voice to that one person. There might have been 10 other people saying the same thing that you said, but somehow about the way that you said it or the way that you did it connected. And that's how God works, okay? So here's what Chris says. How will you know if you don't go? You won't. So I encourage you to get out of that boat. Step out. I have a story that I'm going to abbreviate for you. In worship team, you guys can start playing something behind. But I'm going to abbreviate for you. It's found in Matthew 20, verses 8 through 15. And Jesus is telling them a story about an owner of a vineyard. And he went out into the city and the countryside searching for workers. And he asked them to do work for him. And they said, yeah, we'll do it. How much are we getting paid? A denarius. One denarius. All right, sign us up. And he does that all throughout the day. And then he finally gets towards closing time, end of the day, a couple hours left, and he gets some more workers. How much will you work for? Denarius. All right, sign us up. So then he gets to the point where he's shelling out the money for the work. And he starts with the guys that he brought up last. And he gives them their denarius. So the guys at the front are like, all right, man, 12 hours in a day, 12 denarius. I think I can handle this. And the owner comes up to him and they give him one denarius. And they're upset. Well, I thought that since we were working and it was hot, and it was a long time, and we did most of the work, then we'd get paid more. And in a roundabout way, he basically said, can I not do what I want with my money? I gave you a job. I told you your wage. You agreed to it. How am I evil? And the thing that I want to connect this story to what we're talking about today is that something that's been on my mind a little bit, trying to nutshell this. But for those in my life who have gone on to be with the Lord, not all of them served God throughout their entire life. Some of them might have had what you would call a deathbed confession. And just as the thief on the cross was offered salvation and was with Jesus in paradise that day, I believe my loved ones and my friends that received Jesus before they breathed their last are with him. So what I want to tell you today is it's not too late. There's breath in your body now. Ask the Lord. Present yourself as that living sacrifice and say, God, how can I minister to you? How can I die to myself daily and do what you want me to do? Help me not get distracted by the cares of this world and maybe my agenda, what I'd like to see done, how I'd like to do ministry, what I think it ought to look like, and just instead say yes. So as the worship team is getting ready to play, I'm going to ask you guys to stand up. Please stand. I just think it has a little bit more effect. You're saying yes to him. And then I'd like you to hold your hands out. And the beauty of this posture, this is I can receive something and I can give something. So today, I want you to just pretend your life is symbolized in your outstretched hands. And you're giving back to Jesus everything that you are. Exactly the way that you are, because he's not telling you to change how you are right now. He'll take care of that. But you're giving it back to Jesus. And as you deal with him in this time, whatever that sounds like to you, I'll pray a prayer, give you an example. But then you're going to take a minute and you're going to ask the Lord, how should I receive whatever you're going to give back? Whether that's a commission, whether that's a gift, whether that's a plan, whatever that looks like. But you're going to receive something too. So I'm going to pray with you. We're going to give to Jesus. And then we're going to pause and receive. Jesus, I give my life to you. Wholeheartedly. Not keeping anything for myself. Lord, would you replace everything that I'm giving to you with more of your spirit so that I can think the way that you think. And I can see what you see. And my heart, where it's been hardened in places, cold to the love of others and the world around me, based on my circumstances, based on my upbringing, God, you see it all. But I want to love again the way that you love. I want to hurt for the lost the way that you hurt for the lost. I want the urgency of the fact that it might not be too late for me to come forward, but time is running short. So help me to declare your truth with more boldness today. I thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Would you help me not forget my testimony so that I can tell everyone about you? Give me the boldness. Give me the faith. Give me the courage to do that. Now I encourage you to ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to do? Tell me now. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? You to remain standing just for a moment.
I had a word when he was talking about his dog sitting in his feet. It reminded me of my cat. She sits my feet and she cleans herself. And Cat licked himself to clean. And it reminded me of the Lord cleaning us. But what I thought of after is that they don't always smell nice after a cat's cleaned himself. So then we take her up and put her in the sink and then clean her. Then she's mad after it. But sometimes we don't always see the full picture of God cleaning us. And so we're a little mad of what happens. So we just gotta focus on that He's cleaning us. He's forgiving us. Yeah. Oh my God.
Amen. Amen. The Lord has made you clean. He's dressed you in a new robe, white and holy and set apart. I feel like there's one other person that needs to share a word about either what God said during the message or during your time of receiving. Who are you? Come forward. Got two. We'll take it.
I heard God say, because of Him and what He gave to me, I can become who He wants me to be and continue to bring joy and encouragement.
Amen. Amen. I would say both are definitely words from the Lord. Amen.
So the word God placed in my heart was led by the phrase, go out. Of course, stood there and asked Him, go out and preach your word. What are you telling me? But He simply said, go out and be that light. Be on fire for me. Open up your heart, open up your mind to receive me. And the energy, the love that I have, the only type of energy and love that I can provide. Time, resources, money, family. I'll put the peace in their heart about it. You just follow me.
Amen. Amen. Does that sound like Jesus? Yeah. So if that sounds anything like what the Lord was saying to you this morning, be encouraged. God is speaking to you and He's using you. He's equipping you for His work and for His ministry to bring glory to His name. So I'm going to pray for you. We're going to be dismissed. The worship team will sing another song, so feel free to linger here if you'd like. And if you'd like to hug a few more necks, we just ask that you do it out here in the coffee bar area so that we can worship. Jesus, I thank You so much for what You've done here today. I thank You for the realization that we are being saved. God, that's so good, so encouraging. Thank You that You're not done with us yet. And Lord, You work everything for good for those who love You and who are called according to Your purpose. So Lord, I pray that as You've started speaking to these hearts, that You ignite the fire for the purpose that You've placed inside of them. Let them say yes. And let them abandon everything that gets in the way. Lord, draw us closer to You. Lord, as the time is coming short, You will come back soon, and we want to be found ready. Lord, help us as we go to our workplaces, to our homes, as we go love on moms and grandmothers and daughters. Lord, help us be the light so that people will see You in us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Love you guys. We will see you next Sunday.